Good morning. I'm Donna Donna. My guests in the studio today from United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island. You can't see, but from left to right, Kim Anstey. Kim, what is your position at UCP?
I'm the Director of Adult Services.
Okay. And we have Sherry Glazer.
Yes, I'm Director of Educational Services and Principal of the Children's Center, which is our school.
And we have Nancy Rayo.
Yes, and I'm the Director of Development and Public Relations.
Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
And I know that March is Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. I want to talk about that. But first, let's raise awareness really about exactly or as exactly as we can what cerebral palsy is, because it seems to encompass a number of different disabilities.
Right. Well, cerebral palsy is a chronic condition and it affects body movement and muscle coordination. It's caused by damage to one or more specific areas of the brain, usually occurring during fetal development, before or during shortly after birth or during infancy of a young child. Cerebral, as you know, means brain, and palsy is the muscle weakness or the poor control that one may have.
So according to the damage, that's what affects different parts of...
Depends on the type of motor movements, that's correct. So somebody that has CP could actually be 100% cognitively intact, could very well be gifted. Mm-hmm. So cognition does not have any effect on the muscle, obviously.
Okay. So, but are there cognitive problems?
Yes. You can have a person with CP that has multiple disabilities, could be speech impairments, sensory impairments, feeding issues, obviously physical issues as well.
And I know back in the day, we used to say that, oh, the doctor botched the delivery when the baby was born. But it
certainly does go deeper than that. And I think that's because of lack of oxygen at the delivery.
Okay.
So an extended delivery may have some issues with oxygen.
And what other causes are there?
Other causes of CP could be additionally lack of oxygen to the brain, suffocation,
immature birth
could be one as well.
I'm thinking head trauma.
Yes, head trauma. Yes, of course.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So traumatic brain injury, yes.
Okay. And how many people approximately do you know? Do you have a number?
I think it's just below 35% right now within our agency that currently have CP.
So although at UCP, we serve individuals with many different disabilities.
Oh, I see.
Not just individuals with cerebral palsy.
Okay. So can we get right to that topic? Could tell us about some of the other developmental disabilities that you address.
Well, we have students within the school that have syndromes. We have students that, unfortunately, shaken baby could be something. We have students that were near drowning. We have students that have had seizures and then were faced with limitations. We've also had students that have, unfortunately, had car accidents. And we just have some students that are mildly on the autism spectrum.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And where is your school located?
Our school is located in Commack off of Jericho Turnpike.
So if you're just joining us, Long Island, I am talking with Nancy, Sherry, and Kim from United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island. And we're learning, actually, that cerebral palsy can encompass a number of disabilities, a number of issues for children and adults. So give us a little an idea of the school, from what grade to what grade, and what kind of services are offered at school.
Absolutely. So our school is called the Children's Center, UCP Long Island, and we provide educational services to early intervention, preschool, and school-age students. Our school supports what we call the MOVE philosophy, which is mobility opportunity via education. And basically what that means is our students within the building move for a functional purpose. So they move throughout the building, utilizes supportive equipment to be able to deliver mail, deliver attendance. We have our school newspaper, which is called the Chronicles, and just getting them to be up and about throughout the building. Our students work on daily living skills, and they are provided with an array of therapies based on that of which they need. For example, they might receive occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech-language therapy, vision services, and more. At our center-based students are also provided with adaptive physical education, which is like your regular education that you would receive in a public school. However, things are adapted mm-hmm. to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. We also have music, and we also have art therapy,
which
are wonderful. Our students really respond very well to music. We also have a comprehensive assistive technology team, a beautiful indoor play space where students can receive therapy in a natural environment, and a new state-of-the-art sensory room that we are so very proud of. It was a two-year, two-phase grant that we received.
I'm sorry, a state-of-the-art what kind of room?
Sensory room.
Oh,
it's actually
okay.
called a snoozling room, but sensory room is probably more understandable.
To stimulate the mm-hmm. student's
yes,
sense?
Yes, it's a very nice, peaceful room, mm-hmm. And it's a room where the students are able to go in. We have a bubble tube that has beautiful lights mm-hmm. and a soothing vibration to the tube. Mm. We have fiber optic strands that the students can track left to right, right to left. We also have fiber optic strands that they can reach through and touch a sensory wall, a tactile wall.
Mm-hmm. And what benefit is that kind of thing for?
It's a great benefit to our students, especially those that have visual impairments. It's very stimulating. For our younger preschool students that are learning some upper body strength, they can be put on their bellies on a mat that has very gentle shimmering lights, so they're able to focus. Mm-hmm. And for our students that are having some attending issues, they can go in there and it provides a very soothing, relaxing environment. Mm-hmm. And we've seen great success in the short time that the room's been opened.
And approximately how many students do you serve?
We serve about 80 students at this point in time, and mm-hmm. that includes early intervention, preschool, and school age.
So I imagine there's a long waiting list to get...
We're very fortunate in that we share very nicely, uh-huh. and that our 9 classrooms are afforded the opportunity to go into the Snoozlin room 3 times per
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as just getting into the United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island
yes,
School...
Yes. Yeah, so we do have a wait list. We do specialize on students that have physical limitations. Mm-hmm. Many of our therapists, especially our physical therapists, have been there 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. One of our speech-language pathologists, I think she is hitting 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have a great longevity, not only within the school, but agency-wide.
You have a lot of experience and a lot of hands-on experience as well, it sounds like there. So let's give out your website for people who are listening and thinking, that could help my child. That could help my neighbor's child. I have a coworker. It's UCP, United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island. My guests in the studio, I'm plugged into Long Island today. And their website is ucp-li.org. That's ucp-li.org. Let's talk about Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. It's pretty significant.
It is. It is very significant. Okay, so National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month is an opportunity to promote respect for people with developmental disabilities and increase awareness of the daily obstacles faced by these individuals and their families as well. It's also an opportunity to educate people of the many disabilities that exist today.
And you have a fundraiser coming up?
Yes, we do. On Thursday, April 27th, we're hosting a night in Monte Carlo, which is going to be held at the Lark Field in Northport. It's going to be a great evening. The food there is absolutely amazing. We have a very extensive buffet dinner, a cocktail reception to start the evening off. And then we'll have a Viennese hour and a half.
Oh, my favorite, the sweets.
It's amazing. And we will be having casino games. And we're really celebrating art, music, and fashion. Many of the participants at United Cerebral Palsy are wonderful artists, and so we will be displaying a gallery of their works.
Oh, wonderful.
We're going to be having music provided by the performers of the Stoller Center, and we're also having fashions. You're going to see some beautiful gowns and fashions. Flair Boutique in Stony Brook is providing that. So there's something for everyone. It's just a great evening, and all of the money that we raise will be to support the programs and services that we have for our individuals.
That's wonderful. So Long Island, if you would like to support United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island, a night in Monte Carlo celebrating art, music, and fashion. Let's give the date again. It's April 27th at the Lark Field in East Northport. And all of the information, I assume, is on ucp-li.org?
Yes, it is.
Okay, awesome. You have to buy your tickets in advance, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, please.
And it's still, and it's dressy dresses for the girls.
You can do whatever you want. Oh. You can wear business attire. You can dress up in a gown. So it's kind of anything goes.
Okay. And it's a worthy and wonderful cause that you are supporting while you have all this fun. So let's talk about now the school. Just to get back to the school for a minute. This is not a residential school, or is it?
No, it's actually not a residential school, although we do have two children's residences that are in connection with the school. So if the student was to reside in one of the homes, they would then have to attend our school. So 14 of those school-age slots are for those children that might reside in our home.
But you do have a residential center for people who suffer with cerebral palsy and other disabilities?
Actually, we have 31 residential homes throughout Suffolk County.
Wonderful.
They are beautifully decorated homes that would look like any other house on the block.
Mm-hmm.
We have an average.
And these are group homes?
Well, there's about 6 to 7 individuals in most of them. A couple have about 11. And we serve over 250 individuals in all 31 homes. We also have staff members 24 hours a day. We have nurses in the homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, tending to all of the needs that our individuals might have. We also have a complex in Central Islip that is called Eaton Knowles. And we have another place called Indian Head Road where we have, how many individuals are in there?
I believe 31.
31 individuals.
I believe 31.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And now, and these group homes, these residences, what's the age range?
Well, two of them, as Sherry mentioned, are for children. And then the rest can, you know,
stay there their
entire lifespan.
Well, but it's from the age of 21.
Okay.
And above.
21.
For adults.
Okay. And so the children and the adults that you are serving, the kids now, they graduate in the 12th grade. I'm assuming it's a regular.
No, actually, they're afforded the opportunity. Let me go back a little bit, if I may.
Sure.
Right now, we have students from 31 local school districts, and they come to the school, our school specifically, because of the amount of needs that they have. Mm-hmm. We're able to support the OT, PT, and speech therapy, as I mentioned previously. So we have 2 preschool classes and 7 school-age classes. And by school-age, I mean ages 5 through 21. Our students are afforded the opportunity to remain in school until their 21st birthday. And they age out of program.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point in time, they might go to a day program.
Do you offer an employment program?
Yes,
we do. But for students, just because they enter in our preschool class doesn't mean necessarily they're going to remain with us until they're 21.
Mm-hmm.
We do have several students that are mainstreamed back into their local school district or even go to another less restrictive environment other than ours.
Right.
So we might keep them maybe for kindergarten. Build up their strength, provide the physical therapy, the intensity that they may need. And then when they've had success, we're able to mainstream them back to their district. It's sad to see them go, but wonderful to see all the success they've achieved.
Right, right. So cerebral palsy is not a condition that's it, you have it, and you can't. There's nothing you can do. People's lives can improve with proper intervention.
Absolutely. And early intervention is a point well taken. Mm-hmm. Early intervention, and the sooner they have intervention, the more success that is shown over the long haul.
And aside from your residential homes, what other services do you offer for adults with cerebral palsy or any kind of developmental disability?
We offer several day type services for individuals that live with us as well as live in any other community around. First, for those individuals that can and want to be employed, we have a very rich employment connection program. That program serves people not only with developmental disabilities, but also with acquired disabilities. Big difference is someone that has a brain injury mm-hmm. beyond the age of 21. It's just a different funding stream, and yet they can provide supports. Or someone that had a stroke and needs to reacclimate to a different career, they can come through the employment connection as mm-hmm. well. We also offer services. This is the one area where we offer services for teenagers as they're aging out of school, either a regular ed or special ed. They can come to try to get assistance in finding a job.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide all kinds of services in that way. We help the individual to develop and refine their employment goal through various assessments and helping them to see where their strengths and weaknesses are. We help them look for jobs, go on job interviews, fill out the application. If need be, we will help assist them in building their resume and developing their resume. We even have a studio where they can practice interviewing, do mock interviews, and give video feedback to see where their strengths and weaknesses are on the interview and to increase those skills. We even have a Dress for Success closet where we provide all kinds of outfits for people to use when going on interviews. Then once they get their job, we can provide them a job coach. That job coach can either stay with them just initially to get through the first couple of weeks on the job to learn, to make sure they have all the job skills they need for the job, mm-hmm. to help them to acclimate to the environment, the specific work environment, and to make sure that they're meeting the employer's expectations. We also provide ongoing job coaching for those people that will always need a little coaching now and again, a couple times a month, where someone will come in and make sure that they're reading their schedule right or providing the services, dressing properly, or addressing any kinds of more soft skills,
right.
which are generally the reasons that people are going to lose their job mm-hmm. rather than the actual job tasks. Mm-hmm. So we provide that all of that for individuals that are able to be employed. We placed 40 people in 2016 across all various types of jobs, from library clerks, computer technicians, accounts receivable clerks, mm-hmm. Baggers in grocery stores, cashiers, even a teacher, across all areas on Long Island.
Let me, because this is very exciting, because there are a lot of people out there that just need a little help mm-hmm. when it comes to the next phase of their life, getting a job. So let me remind everyone that we are talking with the United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island ladies. Today we're talking with Kim, Sherry, and Nancy. And you can access United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island at UCP-LI.org, UCP-LI.org. And I'd like to talk to you just a little further about the employment services that you offer for people with disabilities. Now, do you work with certain companies that are committed to hiring people with disabilities?
Actually, the Employment Connection works on both sides. We work with job seekers who will work with them, you know, depending on their skills and their interests, anywhere that we can help them finding a job. Mm-hmm. We also work with employers. First of all, there are benefits to working with the disabled population. Research has shown that they tend to be very reliable, always come to work.
Right.
They're the ones that are in the snowstorm are knocking on the door when you forgot to call them because you closed. They're very usually very dedicated to mm-hmm. performing the job as best as they can. They value being able to work
very much.
Also, there are available earned tax credits when a company works with an individual with a disability. And any company that has a government contract must prove documentation that they're reaching out to the disabled population and offering them job opportunities in order to maintain their government contracts. So the Employment Connection which has its own website, theemploymentconnection.com, has the ability to work with both angles, the job seekers mm-hmm. and the employers, mm-hmm. to help match, hopefully, a successful combination.
And so you find companies that just not are only required, as anyone doing work with government, but just also want to hire people with disabilities,
definitely.
You know, because everybody's looking for diversity these days. And a lot of people in this world, despite what we see around us, have very big hearts and want to help their community. And it's not all about the bottom line.
Most definitely.
Again, ucp-li.org, United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island. And Kim, did you want to add something? Is there anything?
Well, for individuals that are reach the age of 21 and aren't able at this point to go into the workforce, we also provide day programs. In some ways, similar to the types of skills that they were learning in the education program, they continue in the day programs. We emphasize community participation in all our day programs. So a chief goal would be to spend as much time in the community with your community members, participating in the community and giving back to the community as much as you are able to. Mm-hmm. But we teach anything from the basic independent living skills and daily skills of living to people that will one day be employed, and we're giving them the refinement of those types of skills so that they can move on to an employment or more independent volunteering in the community.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so let's remind everybody again that your the fundraiser that you've got coming up is A Night in Monte Carlo. That is on April 27th at the Lark Field in East Northport. And all of the details are on ucp-li.org. What else do you have? What other ways do you use to raise money? Because it sounds like a full service operation that you're running, and it must be costly.
Absolutely. And we do have several fundraisers throughout the year. After the Monte Carlo night, we have a classic golf outing, which is Monday, May 15th, and we're having that at the Huntington Country Club. We also have a scramble golf outing, which is in August, and that's at the Nissaquag Country Club. We have a 5K, a walk around Belmont Lake State Park in September. Mm. We have a gala in October, which we hold at Flower Field in St. James. And this year we're honoring Kevin O'Connor of Bridgehampton Bank. So we offer something for everyone, and all in the effort to raise funds to support these much needed programs and services.
And say, for instance, I would love to support your organization, but I can't attend any of these fundraisers. I'm assuming there's a donate now button on
ucp-li.org.
Yes.
On our website, we have an opportunity to donate. And we also always welcome volunteers, because we do need volunteers to help us run these events. Obviously, it helps us save in dollars. So if anyone is looking to volunteer, they can also go on the website and get information about how to contact us and join us in helping at the events as well.
And I'm glad you brought up volunteers. Do you have opportunities for volunteers to work with the children and adults that you serve?
We do, certainly at the Children's Center. We have volunteers that come, some that support our adaptive physical education teacher during some of the activities that he does. We also work with some of the local universities, Hofstra, St. Joe's, and we have some student teachers that come in and do their student teaching in our building as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we also just do tours, you know, to learn about disability awareness. We also go out in the public and do some disability awareness things for anybody that would request that. We definitely do have opportunities for volunteers, student teachers, just people that are coming in to do observation hours. And what's wonderful is our community is very close-knit. So Colmac, Kings Park, even West Islip school districts come and participate and do things for our students throughout the year. They might have a jazz band that comes. Colmac Middle School students just came and had an assembly for all of our students. Because as you can imagine, it's difficult to get them all out in the community at one point in time.
Sure.
Because of the extent of the needs that they have.
Sure.
So the community comes into us. The Patchogue Rotary has also done some wonderful things for us. The West Islip students come with the bunny, and they do a little basket during April.
That's wonderful.
It's very, very nice. And you could see that the students that come in are very touched. And the older students at the colleges often fill out application because we often are looking for aides.
Yeah. And
especially during our 6-week summer program.
And I'm sure the volunteers benefit as much as the people you serve do.
We have phenomenal volunteers in the adult day programs as well. They're regular attendees. They enjoy the individuals as much as the individuals enjoy what they come to bring. We have artists and musicians. We have several dogs from Bidawi that come that bring gifts all the time, as well as we have the same for our individuals. One of the highlights of the program is a group called Sensations, which started out as a sign language group, and they also wanted to join a band. One thing after another. Now they have a group of over 30 individuals. We have singers, we have impersonators, we have dancers, we have individuals that sing by the use of American Sign Language, and we give free concerts at various venues. And I'm insulted that it wasn't brought up that we actually volunteer at the Children's Center and we give concerts there as well.
My apologies.
That's okay. But our volunteers, because we have 2/3 of the individuals that are in the day programs, are in wheelchairs, and it's very difficult to get out into the community, even just to have the number of vehicles to be able to bring everybody out as often as we'd like to. So the community members that come in are also enrich the program, enrich the lives of the individuals on a daily basis.
Well, I'm afraid we're running out of time. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Is there something that you wanted to touch on that I did not bring up?
No, we just really appreciate this opportunity to be on air, to be discussing our agency. Donations are really very important to our agency.
So let's give out
UCP-LI.org.
That's right. UCP-LI.org. We have been speaking today on Plugged Into Long Island with Nancy Rayo, Sherry Glazer, and Kim Anstey, all with United Cerebral Palsy of Long Island. And I must say, ladies, it's been a pleasure having you here today. You are an inspiration. And thank you for all you do for those with developmental disabilities.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.